Let's just read the first two scriptures. From Proverbs 13, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. And Father, we just pray that I know we've been on this watering of the garden of your mind, but Lord, we're just going to continue it until we finally get it. And so, Lord, may we realize that we are spirit beings, that we are that we are actually your spoken word. And so you want us to reflect your mind, and we have no thought coming. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we should be able to see that our actions are only an expression of our thoughts. Circumstances do not happen. They grow out of the condition of our heart, all right? In other words, look, the Bible says all things will work together for the elect and for those who love the Lord. So if all things work together, then what about a man? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think about that, all right? Then just as our spiritual lives are progressive, where word must be piled upon word to bring forth that glorified body, so too do our circumstances add to our suffering in order to help our character to grow and develop. Because without suffering, you can never have the character that Christ had, because he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So every situation we face in life is like the piece of a large puzzle that once fitted together gives purpose and it gives meaning to each other. You can actually, you wonder when you're going through it, but then you can look back upon your trials through life and you say, oh, now I know it. Now I understand that God was trying to get a hold of me and he's trying to shape his mind in me. All right. So you can look back at your entire life and see how God took you and shaped you. Things that you have wondered how that you were ever going to get out of them, God pulled you out. But you may have had to go through them, through that thing, to show that you don't want to go there again. In other words, you learn from your mistakes. Now, I know Brother Bosworth said, you know, it was such a marvelous time in those old days. We would crack corn on the railroad tracks, and you know, it was just such a blessed time. But he said, mind you, I'd never want to do it again. So, you know, there's certain things that you've suffered, and you're glad you did, but you're glad you're not going through it again, okay? So the circumstances and conditions that we face each day are only reflectors which help us to know how far along in our development we have come. Therefore, you may not always receive what you pray for, but you will know one thing for sure. You will always receive what you have sown for, because you reap what you sow. You know, as I said, your circumstances are a reflector. Now, if you're going through the same circumstance over and over again, then, you know, there's a little bit of insanity there, because even Einstein said, if you try doing the same thing over and over again and you get the same results, but you're looking for different results, he said that's the first sign of insanity. So, you know, if you're going over and over again in your mind and you're doing things and it keeps coming out wrong, then just face it, it's wrong. Set it aside and do something else. Like Brother Vail said, look, he said, you know, people say I'm quick on the trigger, but he said, you know, I put things on the shelf for 50 years because I didn't understand them. So, you know, we need to also do that. Just trust the Lord and lean to it, not to your own understanding, but lean to his, okay? Therefore, our desires and prayers are only gratifying us to us when they are in harmony with what we are actually sowing in the recesses of our mind. When we fight circumstances, we are only revolting against the effects of what we have been sowing, what we have been sowing. We see the circumstances that are without and we may not like what we see. Yet they are there only because we keep nourishing them in our minds, and we keep feeding on them, and thus preserving them in the garden of our mind. So if you don't like the results you're getting, the circumstances, change your thinking. All right? Now, we so often wish to improve upon our own circumstances, but yet we are so unwilling to improve upon ourselves. In other words, let me say this again so you'll understand it, okay? That is why our circumstances remain the same. So we so often wish to improve upon our circumstances, but yet that's our circumstance, but yet we are so unwilling to improve ourselves. We say, I sure wish I were like Jesus, or I sure wish I were like Brother Branham, but you sure don't want to suffer like they did to get there. I mean, even Jesus learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. Like when John and James wanted to sit down with him at the Father's right hand, he said, are you willing to suffer what I must suffer? Because that is the key. And if you desire to be like him, then your mindset must be as his mindset was. Let the mind that was in Jesus be in you. All right? So if we shrink from crucifixion of self, we shall never achieve our heart's desire. A man who wishes to have a better lifestyle must be willing to work for what he wants. Too many people live at a poverty level and wish daily that they could rise above it, and yet they are personally unwilling to do something about their own condition other than gripe and complain about it. You are the reason for what you are. Nobody else is. What you have sown is what you are reaping in your life. Don't blame your circumstances on others. Blame them on your mindset. You don't get a close-knit family by the luck of some draw, but you get a close-knit family by hard work and constant communication. All right? It's like years ago, you know, when my daughters were young, I think Chrissy was 2 and Elizabeth was 3. And so Elizabeth was wanting to touch something on the table, and I just sat in my chair, you know, easy chair, and I was talking to my mother. She was there. And, of course, she's pretty much like Brother Vail was. She says what's on her mind. And so I said, Elizabeth, don't do that. And she looked at me and kind of looked back and forth. Then she started to do it again. I said, Elizabeth, to get her attention louder, I said, don't do that. And my mom said, why don't you get off your fat, I won't even say the word, and do something about it, be a real parent. Well, I learned parenting skills right there. See, my mother never did much talk to us. I mean, when we were kids, you know, she just said, you know, when we learned the facts of life, okay, she just told us, if you boys ever get somebody pregnant, don't bother to come home because I'll kill you. Well, so we learned not to get anybody pregnant. So anyway, you know, so that's just the way she was. But, you know, so I learned right there, though, when my oldest daughter was 3, I think, or 2, she was maybe 2 years old. And I learned right there, hey, you've got to be an active parent, okay? You've got to do something about it. You don't hit a kid on the side of the head and say, be smart. No, he's going to get dumber. He's not going to get smarter. And he's going to stay away from you. So, you know, you want to draw them into you. You want to love them. So look them in the eyeball, because the eyeball is the gate to the soul. Look them in the eyeball and tell them what they did. Tell them why it's wrong, all right? Don't just say, well, you know, I think it's wrong. Say, look, God's word says you don't do those things, you know? And they'll catch on, because, look, listen, at 2 or 3 years old, kids do, they start learning a lot of things. So good thoughts and actions can never produce bad results. Now think about that. If your thoughts are good, they're going to produce good thoughts, or good results. But if your thoughts are bad, they're going to produce bad results. Well, then you say, well, why did I have a bad result here? Because your thoughts was bad. You see, get that seed out of the garden, okay? Jesus told us that a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Therefore, if we think good thoughts, we will have good actions, which will produce good results. Now, Matthew 7 and verse 17 says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So a Pentecostal preacher cannot preach the truth. A denominational preacher cannot preach the truth. All right? It's a bad seed. It's a bad tree, and it'll produce bad results. Now you say, oh, that was a nice sermon. Well, did you hear the whole thing? Usually there's some kind of twist or some kind of denominational tag that they put upon it. All right? So a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You say, well, he's preaching the same message we are, and yet he's doing this and this and this. Well, you're not listening to his whole sermon, because I tell you what, a man of God that's preaching the truth will not live like a heathen. Okay? So if you're a heathen, then it's because you're a bad tree. I'm sorry. So get rid of that. Just tear it down. You reap what you sow. Therefore, if you delight in the Lord, you will receive things that you have need of. Now, Psalm 37 and 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You make the commitment. You are the one who must sow the seed. And then God simply honors the law of reproduction that says every seed will bring forth after its kind. Did you ever wonder about that sermon? I mean, that scripture right there. We are spoken word creatures. I mean, our new birth is all about spoken word. And so we are a spoken word. So, you know, it's time that we let the mind of Christ take over our being. Now, I've seen too many people complain about their lack of victory. Yet they do not sow victory, they sow defeat. They're always complaining, always griping, always grousing about this and that and the other, instead of saying, look, no matter what you throw at me, it's not going to affect me at all. I saw an interview Tucker Carlson was having with a man that went to prison because manipulated, you know, well, he didn't manipulate, he just said, look, we can only afford to make this certain drug because there's only so many people make it. And so it costs us actually to make it. It's costing us this amount of money. Well, it used to be because a lot of people more took the drug. And so they made a lot more of it, and it cost a lot less. And so, the man became basically the evil one in the country. And he went, you know, he actually gave the finger to, I shouldn't say that. He gave a certain finger to Hillary Clinton. And, of course, then she was very instrumental in him going to prison. So he went to prison. And in prison, he said, you know, he learned a whole lot about life. He learned that, you know, people are in prison because of mistakes that they made. But they don't deserve the prison term that they got. They maybe deserved, you know, some prison term, but not the prison terms that they get. So you see, our government has a tendency to want to imprison people for longer than they deserve. So anyway, but he learned a lot, and he said, you know, he was always happy. And so they kept throwing things at him, trying to make him not happy. But he said, how can you make me not happy? They said, well, look, you got 4 years of your life were robbed, and you were thrown in prison. He said, listen, those are good 4 years because I learned a lot. He said, I read hundreds and hundreds of books. He said, I learned about myself. And he said, it's just like if you're an entrepreneur, you don't look at life and say, oh, I made a mistake. And so you become afraid to make another mistake. No, you just go on to another thing and you try to do something there. You see, you don't let your mistakes hold you back. It's like, Edison, you know, it took him 10,000 times to create the light bulb, but he finally did it, okay, because he knew it was there, okay? So I've seen too many people complain about their lack of victory, okay? I just wish I had more victory. I wish I was a better Christian. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. But you're sowing defeat. You know, don't ever say, well, I must be a foolish virgin, because then you are. Because as you think it, so you will be. So I just say this. You might not think that you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be, but you know this, that he which began the good work in you will perform it. So it's not about you performing it anyway. It's about him performing it. So just let go and let God, okay? But, you know, they just sow defeat. So Brother Branham said from his sermon, The Hour Has Come, he said, your right mental attitude towards God, God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Any promise. Any promise, okay? I remember, you know, before I met my wife. I mean, I was praying, and I said, you know, you said, Lord, you know, that a man that getteth a good wife getteth a good thing. And I said, you know, so I don't have a wife, and I'd like to have a wife. And then I met my wife like the same month. All right. So, you know, it's, you know, you just have to give God back his word. I remember I was unemployed, and I said, and I was praying. And I said, Lord, you know, you said that if a man asked for a fish, what father would give him a serpent? And if he asked you, you know, for a bread, what man would you give him? I mean, what father would give him a stone? And you also said that, you know, that, oh, what was it about jobs? But anyway, I quoted the scripture about, works, you know, about our works and God giving us the desire of our heart. And I said, now, so I don't have a job, but I said, you're my father. And since you're my father, you know, you're obligated to provide for me. So all I'm asking for is a job. And so the next morning I wake up, telephone rang, and the guy said, hey, I've got a job for you. It's been on hold for 2 months because of affirmative action. But anyway, we had a buyer just leave, and we're going to have you come in for an interview. So I came in, I got the job. And so I actually was ahead of the affirmative action person that they brought in to take the same job that I had. In other words, he was an expediter. I became a buyer, which usually takes you 2 to 4 years to become a buyer. So, you know, the Lord has everything. All things work together for the good. And just, you know, you got to trust him. That, you know, just give him back his word, because that's what he wants to hear. So he wants to make sure that your mind has his word in it. And then if your mind has his word in it, then when you're praying, you pray his word, and then you'll get the results of your prayer, okay? So don't let the devil know that. He said, always say, I have good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing of the devil. All right? And when you accept him as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Believe that you're healed. Take him at his word. Then it's all over, and God then, and not on you. See, as long as you take God at his word, then the word will produce what is promised to do. That's why I threw away the canes. You know, I'm sorry. If you want it back, you can have it. But, you know, because I said, look, you know, it's about time I trust God. You know, I used a walker for 3 weeks, and then I used the cane you gave me for 2 weeks, and then I used a single cane, and then I said, you know what, I got to just trust God. And I trusted God, and I'm getting stronger and stronger. And so, you know, you just have to trust him and take him at his word. You know, I mean, that's all. All right, so therefore, thoughts of grace and kindness. That's a word that, you know, we don't know too much about. We should study more about it. Thoughts of grace and kindness will crystallize into habits of grace and kindness. You start thinking grace, and you're going to have grace for everybody. All right? You start thinking, God, I need your grace. And then you say, oh, by the way, help me to have grace for everyone else. All right? God, I need your mercy. You're a God of mercy. And you know what? I need to show that mercy myself. Okay, so thoughts of grace and thoughts of kindness will crystallize into habits of grace and kindness, which solidify into friendly and cheerful circumstances. Pure thoughts filtered through God's word will crystallize into habits of holiness and self-control, which further solidify into circumstances of rest and peace. You want rest and peace? Well, there's a way to go about it. You got to start thinking rest and peace. You know, you got to start thinking about holiness and self-control, and then you come to rest in peace. You know, if you sow thoughts of self-reliance and courage and decisiveness, they will bring forth circumstances of success, plenty, and freedom. Wow. You say, I can do all that? Yeah, you're a little creator, aren't you? Aren't you born with his spirit in you, his life in you? Didn't God bring forth all things by the word of his mouth? Won't you bring forth the same results by the word of your mouth? Okay, so Brother Branham's sermon, Serpent Seed, he said, the Bible said that we were predestinated to the sons and adoption of sons of God before the foundation of the world. Then when God slayed the lamb in his own thinking before the foundation of the world to prove out his attributes, what he was, when the Lamb was slain, we were slain with it. Oh my. That's a good one. We were actually slain for our sins. We're actually slain with him. Now, he materialized it all, so we didn't have to materialize it. You know, I don't know how many times I've listened to people that talk about being caught, dying and being swept away and coming into the light and coming into the presence of God. And, you know, every one of them, without a doubt, says, you know, I never wanted to go back. It was so beautiful there. Yet now that they come back and they're treating everybody different, they're treating their children different, their dogs different, their husband different, they're treating everybody different, they say, you know what, I'm glad I am back because I'm enjoying life. You know, if you can enjoy every day and not look forward to tomorrow, but just enjoy the day that you have. You know, Brother Branham said, we were meant to be in this life. We were meant to be, in a human, fleshly, tangible life, and the world, we were made for it. So just enjoy every day. And, you know, if you don't like it because it's not sunshiny, well, then say, Lord, you know, may there be another sunshine for me, like the light of Jesus. And may I be a sunshine to someone else. You know, I remember a CEO, they said, what do you do, when you kind of feel the pressure and you're seeing maybe the numbers are not what you want? He said, what do you do? He said, well, I just get up, I go out, I find someone on the street that looks like they need a sandwich, and I buy them a sandwich. And I do something nice for somebody, and that changes my whole attitude in life. So think about that the next time you see someone who maybe is not dressed right or maybe looks like they're down, you know. And I know there's too many people say, oh, I'm afraid to put my arm around because I might get lice or something. Listen, don't be that way. I prayed for people that had tuberculosis, and you know what? God healed them. 4 people in one meeting, God healed them. They haven't had any deaths in 21 years in that church. So, you know, tuberculosis, you know, you say, oh, I'm afraid to touch that person because I might get tuberculosis. Well, I said the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than this tuberculosis. Okay? So when the blood of the Lamb was caught in his mind, back there before the foundation of the world, mine your names were written on the book of life. All this great thinking, he's infinite. If he didn't, why did he permit it? Which is the strongest, as I said, the Savior or sinner? Which has got the most strength? When the stronger had to admit the lesser. And he only does it for his glory. When he made Lucifer, he knew that he would be the devil. And he had to be there to show that he was a Savior, the Christ. He had to let it happen. You know, the Bible says, what if God made the sinner to show forth the glory of those that are righteous? All right? He makes the darkness of night to show forth the beauty of the day. He makes the storm to show forth the peace after the storm. Okay, Romans 9 says, what if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? You know, Jesus let the man, he knew the man was going to spit on him, and he let him spit on him. You know, he knew that they're going to revile him. He let him revile him. All right? So what if he did this? They were prepared for destruction. He says, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction. And what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Are you being prepared for glory? Are you being prepared for doxa, for the opinions and values and judgments of God? I hope we are. Now back to Brother Bram. He said, now don't the Bible say, so what are you scared about? Let us be up and doing with a heart for any strife. Be not like dumb cattle, had to be begged and persuaded. Be a hero. I like that. Stand up. A little poem that I used to help me so much when I was a kid, and it goes something like this. There was a noble Roman in the Roman emperor days who heard a coward croaker before the castle say it. Oh, it's safe in such a fir tree. There's no one can shake it. Oh, no, said the hero. I'll find a way or make it. Kind of reminds me of a little bow shaking the trees, you know. There you are. That's right. All right. So if this Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it wasn't an easy thing when I stepped out of this tabernacle that day and everybody was telling me that this would happen and that would happen. You'd be considered a fanatic and thrown in jail. You know, the first two steps I saw the glory of God, but the next four steps I saw Satan attacking me and saying, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. But I said, whose fool are you? I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? And I went to the pulpit and God did everything that he told me he would do back in those first two steps. So you'd be considered a fanatic and thrown in jail. And all the medical association would get against you. But God said, do it. The Bible said he was. And now a revival fire burns in every nation under the heaven. That's right. Stand up to it. How do you tackle your work each day? Are you scared of the job that you find? Can you stand up to the work ahead of you? Have you got a tired and empty mind? I hate that stuff. Or do you stand right up to the work ahead of you? Or is it fear ever running through it? So tackle the next you find by thinking you're going to do it. Stay with it. Certainly, purpose in your heart like Daniel and stay with it. You see how those little poems affected Brother Branham. He got the right thinking in his mind. You know, remember going up the hill with his car. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Think you can, and you will. All right? So we see that energetic thoughts will crystallize into habits of cleanliness and industry, which will solidify into circumstances of courteousness. Gentle and forgiving thoughts will solidify into protective and preservative circumstances. In other words, you're standing up for the poor guy that's being put down. Loving and unselfish thoughts will crystallize into habits of self-forgetfulness for others, which solidify into circumstances of sure and abiding prosperity and true riches. So the Bible says to have a friend, you must show yourself friendly. And in order to show it, you must first think it. If you keep sowing the same particular train of thoughts, be it good or bad, it cannot help but to produce its results on the character and circumstances in which you live. Isaiah 58 and 11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose water fail not. I keep thinking, you know, we are going through the worst time in the history of the world, and yet, what has it done to me? What has it done to the people in Goshen? They were protected by God. What has it done to us? I want you all to keep in prayer. I send it out to everybody whose emails I have. And a church that believes a doctrine in Congo DRC, the rebels came into this area and hacked certain people to death. Okay, I saw pictures of them. I mean, on the side of their head, they'd have a circle and it was just lopped off. You could just see the bone, all right? Round circle. Then on the top of their head, they'd have, it looked like, kind of like that, you know, looked like ridges where the machetes sunk into their head and they killed them, okay? They had like two of those. And so there was two sisters that were killed and a little girl, 6 years old, was killed, and three men that were not killed, but they're suffering because they're all bloodied up and everything else. So, you know, we are fortunate that we don't have that kind of thing around us. But God will use whatever circumstances that you go through, he will use it to make you a better person. Now, in that case, those people are dead, but they are a better person because they're in the arms of Christ. Okay? And I'm sure that they would not want to go back to this life and struggle like they do with looking for water. And go ahead and just punch the thing up there, and it probably needs a filter change or something. And so anyway, We have circumstances here are different from circumstances there. But, you know, God uses whatever circumstances we have to make us mindful of Him and to produce Him in us, okay? So, therefore, everything you are, even your character, it comes forth from the garden of thoughts that is in your heart, making you what you really are. And the garden of your thoughts, everything that is already in you, not only is affecting your character, but it's molding your character, but even to the circumstance that you enter into daily and the way you handle those circumstances. You can get all shook up by things that have happened, or you can say, praise the Lord, it's a preordained trial. All right? And God uses these circumstances in shaping your character into its final product that He has predestinated for you. Therefore, every trial that you endure, every test God puts you through, it comes about as a result of the seed thoughts that lay within your heart. Therefore, every thought seed that is sown or that we allow to fall into the fertile soil of our mind to take root there will produce its own after its own likeness and nature, because God said every seed after its own likeness and nature. Sooner or later, each thought seed that we have sown in our heart, will have to take blossom and become manifested in our lives as an action or a deed. That's what we understand about the mark of the beast. It's in your hand, it's in your forehead. In other words, in your thoughts, and then you do what's in your thoughts, right? And each action or deed will bear its own fruits in terms of opportunity and circumstance. So if you have the mark of God, the Holy Ghost, then your thoughts will produce righteousness, and so will your actions, okay? Because the Bible says, if a man that doeth right is righteous. Okay, so it's the doing what is right. Now, as the scripture tells us, good thoughts will bear good fruit, and bad thoughts will bear bad fruit. Therefore, loving thoughts creates an atmosphere of help and trust, which crystallizes into habits of grace, kindness, and charity, which creates further circumstances of friendliness and cheerful benevolence and reciprocity on behalf of those who are the recipients of your loving thoughts. You know, sometimes we do for family members and we do for people we like, but we won't go near people we don't like. Well, what's wrong with that? There's a whole lot wrong with that. Okay, now I can understand avoiding conflict, but I also know that if we have those thoughts in us to avoid, then we need to conquer those thoughts. Jesus didn't avoid. Jesus came, He did for everybody. He treated everybody the same, and so should we. Paul spoke of our love, which is our outward manifestation of our revelation, as something which is reflective of your character inside. In 1 Thessalonians 4, from the Weiss translation, he says, remembering unceasingly, your works produced and characterized. Notice, your works produced and characterized by the faith which is yours. In other words, your revelation produces your character, or produces it produces your works, and it characterizes them by the revelation which is yours. And your toil, which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trials, which find its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, even the Father. So, what am I saying? Well, it all begins up here. Actually, in here. It all begins there. And you are what you are by the grace of God. And if you want to be more like Him, then just simply die out to your thoughts and let His thoughts come through you. You know, we had the expression in the 70s, we said, what would Jesus do? Well, that was kind of a carnal thing going on, but actually, there's a truth to it. What would Jesus do? All right? Therefore, if we look at what motivates us, is it money? Is it greed? It is our faith, which is our revelation, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said it motivated his works and toils and his patient endurance. And when that faith is expressed, it produces an outward work, which we call love. For God so loved, He did what? He gave. He gave what? The most precious thing that was his, and that was his son. And he just simply gave you what was most precious for him, okay? Now, Isaiah 58:11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water, whose water fail not." In Jeremiah 31:12 says, "Their soul shall be as a watered garden." So what are you watering? Are you watering the bad thoughts, the gossip thoughts? You know, the people that you like to talk to, that like to gossip, do you can't wait to talk to them? Or do you kind of dread talking to them? Do you see how that our faith, our revelation, works into us an outward expression, which brings forth, which brings glory back to God our Father? And Paul also spoke of the early church in Ephesus as having this outward love towards all the brethren, as we see in Ephesians 1:15. He said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, your revelation in the Lord Jesus, and your love unto all the saints," your outward expression of that revelation, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So the people had come up to faith. Then they expressed their faith through love. And Paul said, "Now you're ready to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which didn't come till this hour. But we have it." All right? Now, Colossians 3:12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of what? Mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering. In 1 Peter 3:3 he says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives." Brother Vail told me when I was, when my father died, and we came in contact again, he said, "Listen, don't preach to your family, because they can't handle the word, but just love them, because either you will love them in, or you will love them out. So just love them. Be as good as you can to those who don't have the word, so they without the word will do for you, so that at the white throne they will be given life." Do you understand? Can I say that again, or you understand it? Huh? All right. So, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word," without being constantly preached at, "be won by the conversation of the wife." The man comes in and says, "My wife's a real Christian." They said, "Oh, there's no real Christians today." He said, "I'll prove it to you." He says, "Honey," he said, "let's act like we're drunk. Honey, I want some eggs." So she fixes him his eggs just the way he likes them. And he looks at him, throws him on the floor, says, "Come on, boys, let's get out of here." And he says, "They ain't the way I like them." And she knew that they were the way he liked them. And they heard her cleaning up the mess, singing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free, but there's a cross for everyone. And he is my cross for me." Okay. I mean, he didn't say that, but there's a cross for me. Okay. So while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and putting on apparel. In other words, don't look like some prostitute from Las Vegas, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, if you're yelling and telling your husband what to do and this and that, you're wrong. Just simply, you're wrong. According to Scripture, you are supposed to have a meek and gentle spirit. If you got that meek and gentle spirit, you wouldn't go up to a neighbor and say the things you say to your husband, but you say different ways to your neighbor. You talk to your neighbor sweet, this and that. Well, why don't you do it to your husband, okay? "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Now, see, you don't have to obey just any brother, you know, that comes along and says, well, you got to obey me. No, you got to obey your own husband, okay? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid, and not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they shall speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is with meekness and fear. Now, I hope those sisters gave those men that were doing the slashing a good sermon. But see, the problem is they usually, you know, we let down our faith in those circumstances, and we look at the circumstance itself. But if you preach, then you go into his arms as a martyr. All right? Not just as a person hacked to pieces because of political differences. So give them a piece of your mind, and may it be the mind of Christ. All right? I remember years ago a woman saying that, you know, a man came in the house, he shot at the husband, he drove out the window, and he was ready to shoot the woman, and she just started talking about the Lord Jesus, and he remembered his youth, and he didn't shoot her. He just left the house. So be that way, okay? Having a good conscience, that whereof they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So pure thoughts. It creates an atmosphere of holiness and sobriety, which crystallizes into the habits of sanctification and self-control, which further solidifies into circumstances of rest and peace. Pure thoughts, what are they? God is great. God is good. Thank you, Jesus, for our food, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this scripture tells us that somehow we will be preserved during the time of the parousia. This preserving can be seen in 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. There is what will preserve you. Walking in the light is what does it. And notice, he is doing it for you. For Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked that you were once the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Obeyed from the heart what? Doctrine. That is what it does. Being then made free from sin, when you believed from your heart. You became the servants of righteousness. You became a servant of right thinking. That is what righteousness or right wiseness is. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, but as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, right wiseness, unto holiness. Let me say this. There was a time when you yielded yourself to those things which were not right. But now you are yielding your vessel to that which is right, and that brings holiness, and that brings a life of peace and rest. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that it all lays within the thoughts of our mind. If we just think, Lord, about you, think of righteous thoughts, think of mercy toward others, think of grace toward others, it brings back with it grace and peace. So, Father, we just commit our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.